And now, welcome back out here, everybody, as the halftime show. You just missed it. We got some Blanco Panthers dancers out there that did a fantastic job. Now ready, or the Randolph dance team, actually. So thank you for correcting me there, Adam. Of course, both teams wear blue, so it was kind of hard for me to tell. But now, as we talk, the Blanco High School band is getting ready to get on the field to give you one heck of a halftime performance with a lot to be proud of thus far for the Panthers football team, currently leading 14-0 is the score here at halftime in favor of the Panthers, who again are looking for their first win of the season, and just like a season ago, are looking to do it against the Randolph Rohawks and keep their strong tradition of play going here against the team out of Universal City and off of Randolph Air Force Base. As now we can take it down to the field as we get to hear the introduction of the pride of Blanco, Texas. Waiting for it. Ready, Randolph, actually, will get the first performance. I'm sorry, people, I'm still on away schedule thinking. Because, of course, on the road, Blanco was always the first team to go and perform. But now they're going to have to get the honor of being saved for last. Still.
They say they save the best for last, so that's always been the...
You're exactly right there, partners. The football team's been playing their butts off tonight. Of course, Randolph giving it a good effort. They had a little momentum going here before that half came to an end. That was eventually stopped short by a fantastic chase down sack there by Cade Phelps. But now, since we have the time, we can look around and see what's going on in the district for the other teams out in Blanco's District 13 out here tonight. What's going on, Adam?
Comfort is on the road against Tom Moore. Tom Moore is up 14-6 in that game with about 40 seconds left before half. Hearn is at Rogers with about 30 seconds left in that one as Rogers is up 14-0.
So kind of carbon copy game.
And then Florence is on the road against Salado, and Salado is up 49-7 in that game, and that's in the second quarter. And then, of course, the game you're listening to, the Blanco Panthers are up 14-0 on Randolph at half. And number 3 Lexington High School is beating Durrell 36-6 with that game still has over 8 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Good Lord. You can see why Lexington is the third best 3A team in the state with 36 points. And they still got a whole 9 minutes and 24 seconds left before halftime. Good grief. But yeah, of course, there could be worse things going on out here tonight. Of course, that's the best thing that's happening for the district and their representative team right now in Lexington. Whereas you take a look, of course, refreshing the Florence game. They've got 11 minutes left. The second quarter just started, and they're already down 49-7 to Salado. So the Eagles, it's an Eagles themed night. Lexington Eagles, Salado High School Eagles, they are butchering the Buffaloes and the Cougars out of Jarrell High School. As again, we take a look down on the field and see that Randolph's band is indeed playing. But before we can get a good gear going, we do, like I promised, have some audio from head coach Bill Tesh, and I think now is the perfect time to go and play it.
Riley Chestnut of the Sun Radio Sports Network here with Blanco head coach Bill Tesh out here in week 4, and a little bit different circumstance. Y'all ain't having to ride the bus this week. You're going to be having your first home game out here in 2 days.
Yes, we're really looking forward to it. It's been a 3 weeks, but we've gotten better each week, and like I said, it's going to be nice to play in front of the home fans, and I know the coaches are looking forward to it. I know the players are too. So, everybody hopefully will come out here and support us, and we're going to have a good game for them to watch.
And with that, going back to last week, of course, just take me back to what the atmosphere was like for your team immediately after what was one of the most exciting but still a very tough loss to take against Pearsall.
Well, right. I mean, we always applaud the effort of our young men, but obviously, the outcome wasn't there, and we were heartbroken over that, and so we got work to do, and I got work to do, and they have work to do, and that's all we've been doing. We get back, we got a new opponent, and one day at a time, one practice at a time, and hopefully a little, different results this Friday.
And what were some of those things you've been working on to make sure those very close games, again, a big effort?
Well, sure. It's the little details. Turnovers were big. We had a couple fumbles, a couple interceptions, drop passes, things like that, missed blocking assignments, special teams, again, we got to really work on that. So we've been focusing on those things personnel-wise and making a few changes, so we've been doing that also.
And one of the players I can help mention, your kicker, Zach Rogers. Obviously, you don't think at the first moment you miss a PAT that's going to end up being the final score. But when that came to realize, what has his approach been this entire week, knowing that that could have been a difference?
Well, I mean, I'm sure he probably took a little hard. But, again, he did make a heck of a tackle on that opening kickoff. And he's done that to us in the last couple of weeks. And, it, you know, it's part of it. He made a mistake. And you know, it is what it is. But like any ball game, it doesn't just come down to that. I mean, that happened in the third quarter. Heck, we still had plenty of time, you know, the rest of the third quarter and all the fourth quarter to overcome that. So, you know, we don't fault anybody on that. We take it as a team.
And, of course, that game, a lot of things going right. Y'all put up a fantastic fight. And, of course, those kinds of losses can either be turned from, oh, so close to we're almost there. What necessarily has the team's response been to knowing that if they just make a few little key plays here and there, that it could really mean the difference in games?
Well, and correct. The coaches and especially the players, they have been on each other this week, and that's been good to see, holding each other accountable for things they've done and reps and sets and assignments and things like that. So on both sides of the ball, defense, offense, special teams, they've held each other accountable for everything. So I think it's all worked positive.
And now looking forward to the Randolph game. Last year, same scenario, you were 0-3, and then you have Randolph, and it ends up being your first win last year. And, of course, 9 games you played them now, and you've had a really good amount of success against them. What things can you take from last year's game that you can use in this year's game to pull off a victory?
Well, we know right now that, you know, Coach West does a good job. He's been there a while, and, you know, we know what they do offensively and defensively and the skill position that they have. They got some big linemen. And they always do, and they have some speed guys, and they always do. And so, you know, we just gotta, you know, we gotta work on what we've done in the past, but also this is a new year, and winning's hard work, and that's what I told the kids after that loss at Pearsall. You know, winning's hard work, and we all just gotta, you know, keep working hard, and hopefully this will pay off this week.
And just a little bit of difference. You know your players can come backing up with the play, but what necessarily in terms of attitude are you looking forward to help drive home the fact that this is a really big week to try and get those first 3 games out of the way and put forward a positive foot?
Right, exactly. Each individual has come up and made sure that during practice and during the weights and defense and offense and even when they're not in there to pay attention. And, you know, so they all have the same goal. They want to perform well, and obviously we want that victory Friday night.
And, of course, last question. It's a home game. You're going to have the crowd on your side for once, not have to go up against what has been some pretty impressive crowds, at least from my side. I know I'll enjoy listening to the Blanco fans for once. Sure. And what do you want them to bring for the first home game?
Well, obviously a lot of noise, you know, and cheering and being positive. And they always back up our boys, and they always have. And so forth. And so I'm just kind of looking forward to it and seeing their reaction. But I'm expecting a great crowd, and I'm expecting great support from our fans and alumni and all the people that show up for the game.
Thank you very much, Coach. Have fun.
And we thank you for listening to that little audio I did manage to get this past Wednesday here from head coach Bill Tesh, who has his team looking strong to pick up his first career win as the head coach of the Blanco Panthers. Again, leading by a score of 14-0. With still 15-30 going here before we can get the second half started. But as I do speak now, we do start to see for the first time as the home team, they get to go on the field last. The Blanco High School Band is going to be going out there ready to perform and show us a little something. And everything seems to be going smooth sailing according to plan. Everything has been fantastic about the effort thus far. We've seen things we have not seen offensively from the Panthers. Especially that big passing touchdown. I can't get over that. That was a fantastic on-the-money throw, at least to put a receiver like Peyton Van Dyke, who could use his height ability or his height as a mismatch opportunity to get in range and make that play. It was fantastic to see.
We've seen a few great throws from Kelby Cox so far in this game, with the 1 to Van Dyke and the 2 to Fortner. We've seen him put it on the money a few times this game.
Yeah, a lot of money ball phrases being thrown out here tonight between me and Adam. And again, now we can take you down to the field to get started. Here is the pride of Blanco, Texas, the Blanco High School Panthers Band.
Welcome to Blanco Panther Territory. the pride of Blanco High School, the 2017 Blanco Panther Marching Band. The Panther Band is under the field direction of drum majors Mitchell Barnett and Clarissa Derby. The Panther drumline captain is Mario Sanchez. The freshman of the week is Alexis Lopez. Congratulations to Harley Hensley and Jacob Barnett. These students were selected to be in Region 12 All-Region Jazz Band. Harley played second chair on the alto saxophone, and Jacob plays first chair on the bass guitar. And will join the rest of the Region Jazz Band for a clinic in concert later this school year. Let's give it up for these students. Tonight, the Panther Band will showcase the 2017 UIL competition show entitled Reborn, From Tragedy and Triumph. Tonight's performance will feature clarinet soloist Cami Manriquez and flute Madison Kimmel. Blanco Independent School District proudly presents the 2017 Blanco Panther Marching Band. Thank you.
Back, everybody. That was the Blanco High School Band doing a bang-up job of getting this crowd in any better spirit than they can be right now. With about 4 minutes and 30 seconds to go before we go into the second half, and Blanco leading 14 to nothing, I thought it'd be appropriate if we play a little music, one song, to at least ride out the wave. And what better song than the theme here of Running Wild? Don't know who it's by, but we certainly do appreciate the name that fits the theme. So, Adam, let's give these people something to listen to before we get back into the second half.
Bam!
I'd like to welcome you back here as we got about 24 seconds and counting before this halftime comes to an end. And, well, not a lot to take away from the first half other than Blanco's defense stepped up and stepped on top of the Randolph Rohawks when needed be, especially on the very last play. After a little bit of confusion and one play left for Randolph to get off, Cade Phelps sacks the quarterback, Mr. Kyle Kaika. And, well, that was the definitive mark of what I call an excellent first half of football for the Panthers as we got guys out on the field with Blanco having the opportunity to kick off here to start off the second half as Randolph won the toss and elected to receive in the second half. I just want to take the moment to thank our supporters out here on these Blanco broadcasts, including the people of Dirtworks, along with the owners over at Remax Genesis, Miss Wayman and Jane Lightfoot. Appreciate you guys. While we also got some great support from Lone Star Capital Bank, Old 300 Barbecue, Peterson Tire, along with Kleeplat Greenhouse, K&C Supply, is now the kickoff. It's going to be taken down to the right sideline. Look at Sebastian Flores. He doesn't pack a lot in terms of height, but he does certainly make up for it in spirit and all-out effort, getting immediately on top of the returner, Mr. Tavion Trapp, and putting him down as he got trapped on the 24-yard line.
That was a nice play. And you mentioned, Riley, about this defense playing lights out in the first half, but the offense also impressive, being able to run the ball and when needed, being able to pass the football.
In fact, two big passes. Of course, Kelby Cox, three completions, definitely a step up from the 2-for-14 performance that plagued him last week versus Pearsall with three interceptions. That only made up about three of the five turnovers that Blanco gave up last week. Now definitely in much better form through that first half. He's under center. We got Kaika tossing it. It's from the right side and a run up the middle. That was Tavion Trapp on the carry. Not much. Actually gets about, let's say, four on the play. And, yep, it'll be second down and six going here.
That was a better run by Randolph than they were getting on the first downs in the first half. Most of the runs on first down was getting maybe 1 yard max. In that first half, they were able to get 4 yards there.
And now pressing it onto the field here, we see a check-in for the Rohawks. It looks like it was number 88 or 89. Either way, that looks to me to be Chris Malstead. Now standing tall as we got an under center position with Van Dyke bringing up the edge. It's going to be a handoff to Kaika Bacon as he is taken down by what looks to be number 50, Jonathan Alcala, with a little bit of help from number 55. That is Tristan Lopez.
And this is what Randolph will live with to get it down to about less than 35. To get it to 34, 33, those situations is what Randolph will live with when they roll, because in the first half they were 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9.
Yeah, didn't get a lot of good third down short opportunities, and now you say it on 3rd down and 2. Going here from the 32-yard line, 10:48 going here in the third quarter with Blanco leading 14-0 out here in their home opener. On top of the 31, Randolph needs just 2 yards to pick up a first. Early motion, and it's going to be a quarterback sneak dive up the middle.
I don't know if he got it.
I don't know either. And let's see here. Blanco holding their hands out saying he was short. It was definitely a bit of an early jump forward by Mr. Kyle Kaika.
And then you're seeing the Rohawks sitting at their punt team.
Oh, they did not get it. So they're going to be held on a 1 yard quarterback dive up the middle. Kaika couldn't come up with it. He might have dived a little too early. He had to wait for the seas to part, if you know what I mean. But now it's going to be 4th down and 1 here, and Randolph is not going to try and make up for that 1 yard. So sending out the punt team, just like you said, we got Mr. Justin Kaika Bacon out there. This will probably be his 4th punt of the night. Yep, if I'm counting it right, and I am. He gets that one, a high snap, and boots it in the air down the field, calling fair catch is Mr. Ostigan, as he gets a bit of a stare down from Mr. Odin, but doesn't seem intimidated to make the catch and call for it as fair. Now getting Blanco going. They'll start on their 34-yard line with 9:50 to go in the third quarter, looking to add on to a 14-0 advantage.
And with this up-tempo offense, we will not even get a commercial break in here between the drives.
Yeah, man, they certainly do not give us time to thank the supporters we got out here. But it certainly do give me time to look on at a man holding a baby that has a Tim Duncan jersey on it. So that family is raising that kid well. It's Cox under center. Of course, they say that Adam is a huge Houston Rockets fan, but now Treish is going to try and get barely any room on the left side. They swarm him and take him out of bounds. A great chase down by Allman keeps him barely to gain about a yard on the play and put him at the 35. They get 2nd down and 9 here for Blanco.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I'm too optimistic for my Houston Texans this Sunday as they go to Gillette.
To play the Patriots. Yeah, I wouldn't be either after Tom Brady put up 3 touchdowns in the first quarter of that last game versus... Well, give him credit. It's Houston has a much better defense than the New Orleans Saints. And Deshaun Watson did show you a little bit of something, but now it's going to be a handoff up the middle for Blanco to let Cade Phelps carry it about 3 yards on the gain, maybe four. But they're going to mark it down just inside the 39.
This makes it a third of manageable for the Panthers.
Yeah, they certainly had much longer strides to go through, but just got to avoid the penalty call here that could really put them in a dapper situation or an in-depth, a dire situation. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word early, but now it's third down and five here from the 39. Blanco leading with 9:16 to go, 14-0, and Cox is going to roll, step up, and throw over the right side. And look at that. It's going to be an interception as he overthrows his man. Fortner was the intended receiver, maybe a little miscommunication, but an interception there by Almond. I think that's his second of the game. So Rivondez Almond doing a fantastic job, and just like that, they're going to allow us to go to a commercial break. Don't go anywhere. Randolph will start after the pickoff, second one thrown by Cox tonight, sixth of the season with 9:09 to go.
Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at...
Well, I didn't even know I was cut off, but thanks for the appreciation there, as now we saw the ball. It was a tight handoff that didn't really go very far. It might have been a fumble that still ended up being picked up by Randolph, but they don't really gain anything other than actually a yard loss on the play, so make it second down and 11 to go here from their 44-yard line against this Blanco's defense that hasn't really been missing much, any beats all night long. In fact, it has been a pretty fantastic effort, to say the least, other than close to the end of that first half when Blanco gave up a huge run play to JKB. But now, ready here, second down and 11 from the 44. It's going to be an under-center handoff and a sweep to the left side going out. That is Mr. Hassan Sakur gaining five on the play, or six. Kept thinking they were at the line of scrimmage, but that's a six-yard gain to put him onward, or maybe seven to make it third down and four. Coming up here, and that it will be now in Blanco territory on the 49-yard line. It will be third down and four coming up here for the Randolph Roehawks. Pretty manageable.
And when we talk about Blanco winning the offensive matchup and the defensive matchup, we're really saying Blanco's winning in the trenches. Blanco's beating their O-line with their D-line, and the Blanco Panthers' O-line is beating the Roehawks' D-line.
Yeah, because Kyle Kaika, KK, if we can shorten it up there, has been a little bit off on his passes here tonight, maybe due to the pressure, but either way, it's going to be a toss right side, but Phelps jumping around the outside block that was trying to be set, and he gets to the runner and stops him 2 yards back of where they originally put. And it'll be a fourth down coming up here for the Roehawks. A great jump there by Cade Phelps.
And this Blanco defense not letting Randolph find any consistency on offense.
No, they get one thing, they're giving it right back. Fantastic, fantastic defense, you can say the least, as Cade Phelps came turning the corner with purpose. And now the punting team, of course, out there for the Roehawks with JKB settling back. Going here, the ball is marked to the 50, and the snap goes to JKB as he's going to put that one in the air. And they're going to let it bounce towards the away side. It's finally picked up there by Ostigan, and he gets him across to the 16-yard line. And, yep, that's where they're going to mark it down. Blanco 16 is where they'll start this drive with 7:32 to go, leading 14-0. And that 7:32 mark here in the third quarter has the Panthers sitting pretty. But we have time to squeeze in a nice little break here. Don't go anywhere. This is Panthers football on Sun Radio.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the...
Yeah, welcome back just that quickly as, again, the go-go offense definitely keeping us on the air and with plenty to do, as it's going to be a run towards the right side. It was an attempted handoff actually towards our side, so that's the left side of the field, and Jed Hood... really a negative gain, not much on that play before he's taken down, and really a rare case where we see Jed Hood get swallowed up behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Jed has been so consistent so far this year at getting a positive yardage, getting, you know, those 3-4 yard carries.
He's definitely a player you want to keep your eye out for on this Blanco team, having done a fantastic job over these last two games especially. This is going to be a handoff quickly to the right side. It's going to be a Barry job up the middle. As they swarm him quickly, maybe keep him to a 2 yard gain to put him on top of what is the 36, or maybe, yep, measuring that right, it is third down and nine ready to go here as the official is still waiting to place the ball down. But Oskin does come into the game as a receiver and brings the play call with him and gives it to Kelby Cox as they get out of the huddle. 6:30 to go, and it's third down and 8 here from the 18-yard line for Blanco. 14-0 lead for the Panthers as Cox has everyone under center and tries, rolling right, throws it from the back end, and it is a what looks to be a completed pass, and it is going to be marked that, but they don't get the first down. They do make it a fourth down and about 4 to go. Fantastic running throw there by Kelby Cox to put it right on the money to Jed Hood as he had to make the dive, so it was equal.
That was a big play there, just for the fact that Randolph was having pressure on Cox, and Cox was about to take a sack near the end zone, but was able to get the ball away.
Yeah, so fantastic work there, and Cox making the throw under pressure. That's only the second time we've seen him go, and he's going to fire it over the middle and overthrow his man. He overthrew Walton Daves as he got that snap, stepped up, ready to fire, and just put too much on it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, he was wide open. Just Cox was just didn't throw a good enough pass there.
Oh, man, I've seen them practice that play.
But I like the gutsy call by the Panthers.
Unfortunately, now that's going to give Randolph fantastic field position just outside the red zone by a couple inches is where they're going to start this. So this will be probably the toughest job Blanco has had to face, having to play defense from just outside their own red zone against the Rohawks, only leading, of course, I say only leading by two touchdowns, which is still really good as we got 5:43 to go in this third quarter, and the Rohawks under center with two receivers out on the right side. It's going to be a handoff on a sweep to the right side. Meeting him there, though, is going to be a couple of Panthers, including Mr. Tristan Lopez, the first man on top of him, keeping him to about a one-yard gain on the play. Makes it second down and 9.
I think Coach Tresh, the reason why he felt he could risk it there was because of how his defense has been playing. He has faith in his defense to get a stop here near the goal line.
Yeah, so let's see what goes on here. As it was actually a two-yard gain to keep it all carefully. Second down and 8 here from the Blanco 18 with the Rohawks under center. One receiver out far away on the side, and now it's going to be a rush to the left side as they swarm him. That's Walton Daves getting to the carrier, Mr. Hassan Sakur, and keeping him to about 3 yards on the gain, maybe 1. Yeah, not much to gain there. It's going to be a pretty long third down opportunity coming up here as they try and send Sakur wide to the left side, but Walton Daves, the man who was intended to get that fourth down trick play completion, only to have it sail over his head a little too strong from Cox, does a great job chasing down the carrier there.
And another great defensive play made by the Panthers defense.
So now third down and 6. 4:23 and counting to go in the third quarter. Blanco leading 14-0 as it's a pitch and a double handoff. Now sending it off is Kaika, and he's going to step forward, and look at this. He breaks in. It looks like he broke in. Oh, boy. Oh, they mark him down just short of it at about the half-yard line.
And a little bit of trickery there by the Rohawks.
And they don't go for the trick pass. They go for the trick run, and a fantastic play call gets Kyle Kaika going all the way to the half-yard line. And that's obviously a pretty close first and goal that has the Rohawks now threatening to score for really the best opportunity this whole game. But, yeah, you're exactly right. The Blanco Panthers played pretty good defense if they knew what was going to happen that play, as it was a double handoff to send Mr. Kaika running, and it worked perfectly. Now, at the half-yard line, they're going to let Kaika try and push forward, and they give him a little help as he gets the touchdown for Randolph, and that's going to make the first score of the game here for the Rohawks. They get it. They use a little bit of trickery to get this drive going and do a fantastic job pushing the effort. As it turns out, Blanco's wrist call on fourth down to try and connect over the middle. An incomplete throw by Kelby Cox ends up costing them fantastic field position. Blanco's been playing great defense all night, but when you get the drive started on the 20-yard line, you can only ask so much, and now it is going to be a one-score game, waiting to see what the PAT holds in store here for the Rohawks as the snap is going to be a little bit away, and Kaika Bacon could never get a hold of it, and he ends up getting hit and still down on the field as the snap ended up bouncing to him, and he could never get a good hold. So there will not be an extra point converted here for the Rohawks, and they're down 14-6. As they get Kaika Bacon off the field, it looks like he took maybe an extra hit to the helmet, and he throws down his helmet and is bent over, trying to keep himself together. Definitely not what you want to see here for Kaiga Bacon, as he is still slow to walk off the field and is getting checked out by a couple of trainers for the Rohawks. But man, what a tough one to give away there on the extra point, as the snap did not even get off the ground, getting all the way to the place kicker. And yeah, we can take a quick break here. We'll be right back with more Blanco Panthers football, as the score is 14-6 with 3:53 to go in the third.
Support comes from KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all
welcome
the best
back,
to the
everybody.
Panthers on a great season.
Things are settling down out here in Blanco, Texas, as the Rohawks do indeed get a drive that ends in the end zone. With a lot of work carried there, Kyle Kaika gets the first touchdown in the game for the Rohawks, but the PAT is not converted, as the snap was a little bit too much on the bounce, and it ends up costing us Kaika Bacon. The placeholder watches that one get booted forward. That's a big guy out there doing the kicking, as Jaden Maturi has been the guy doing kickoff throws, and now watches with a little bit of wiggle room as Cade Phelps gets all the way to the 30 and a half. Great return there by Cade Phelps on the squib kick. Makes it a good start here, decent field position for Blanco to start on their own 30.
And let's see how this Blanco offense responds now to the Rohawks putting up points on the board.
Trying to set the table there, Adam. Well done indeed. But like you said, it's time to see what Blanco has in store after giving away a drive that ends in a touchdown for the Rohawks. But still, now you see the officials throwing flags out there against Blanco. Maybe a little bit too rough. Yeah, something going against the Panthers there is going to make this drive start off a little bit further back than the 30. But the crowd's still giving it their all, as you see the cheerleading squad for the Panthers, along with the mascot, of course, the Blanco Panther himself, getting involved. Definitely keeping this crowd entertained and lively. As we take a look out here, a lot of people filling these seats and a lot of kids running around enjoying a little bit of Friday Night Football, Adam. Isn't there anything sweeter?
Yeah, I remember growing up in Southeast Houston going to 6A football every Friday night.
I wish I did, but now it's going to be a jet sweep handoff, and Fortner, he had a good look at an open hole at the left side before it got shut down quickly, and I do mean shut down like the government.
But while I like the 6A football and the 400 people marching bands and all that, I love the vibe of this 3A football.
Yeah.
Everybody knows each other. It's family out here watching football.
Oh, it's intimacy at its most perfectly placed. But as you can see, that was a 3-yard gain for Tristan Fortner on the jet sweep that doesn't go anywhere. Makes it second down and 6. And Cox under center, his offensive line in a bit of a V shape. They send Trish to step up early and try and take it around the outside, but he somehow avoids everything, goes down. The ball did come out, but it looked like Trish was down already, so that won't be a fumble. Could have fooled me though, as I gotta get these eyes checked here nowadays, but as you can see here, they don't get anything on the play. It's third down and 6 coming up here, or third down and 9, about 3 yards of loss on the play.
It should be very interesting to see what the Panthers do here on 39. Do they keep it conservative, or do they go in the air and try to get the first down through the air?
We can't even rule out the possibility of another pretty crafty trick play. But here, 3rd and 8 from the 23, 2:48 to go in the third quarter. Blanco leading 14-6, putting Fortner in motion. It's going to be a keep and a block forward for Cox. He gets ahead forward, stays on his feet, still finally gets brought down. Great effort there, a fantastic job by Ayala for the Rohawks to keep Cox from running away from what was a heavy block up on the right side of the field. And that is going to be a fourth down coming up here for Blanco at the original line of scrimmage. And the punting team, of course, coming out, but I won't make the call yet until I see that ball actually get put in the air.
And we're seeing Randolph defense respond since halftime, being able to make stops that they weren't able to in the first half.
Yeah, so you definitely got to keep a watch out here for Blanco and see what the call and adjustments will be. So they're now going to put this one up in the air and watch that one get flied a little short and go bouncing. It's going to stay in the playing field. A great touch on the bounce there. Off the punt by Kelby Cox, as it is picked up by Griffin Weirden and Brandon Steed, and starting the drive from the 43-yard line in Rohawks territory. That is where Randolph is going to get this going. With a minute 54 to go in the third quarter, the score is 14-6 in favor of the Blanco Panthers, but we will be right back after another quick message.
Support comes from RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Waymond Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Bulverde, and Spring Branch. Jane Waymond and everyone at RE/MAX wish the Panthers a great season.
Thank you, everybody. And now getting going here from the 43-yard line is the Rohawks under center handoff. Right side, Kaika Bacon pushing it forward. Gets taken down on top of the 45-yard line. The officials move the ball up to the 46, so a 3-yard gain there makes it second down and 7 here for the Rohawks, as Justin Kaika Bacon has been the primary carrier throughout this game for the Rohawks and has by far, up until that last touchdown drive, their biggest offensive positive output, as a minute 24 to go here in the third quarter, 14-6 Blanco. Rohawks on their 46 with a second down and 7 coming up as they hand off left side, but Cross can only get so far, as you see ducking under the pressure and getting to it. That was Mr. Toby Treesh initially slowing down on what was a drawback through the left side, and it looks like one of the Rohawks players coming up trying to keep pressure off his foot. He seems a bit hobbled, trying to see who it is. It looks like it could be number 64, Deshaun Borders. He's going to try and stick through it, though, as they do not sub him out, keeping it all together.
Here's third down, Riley.
And, yep, it is Deshaun Borders that is limping to the line, ready to play that right guard spot. Let's see if Blanco can take advantage. Now it's going to be a fake handoff, play action throw left side. Oh, and it's caught for a completion by Kaika Bacon as he slowed down just long enough in front of Walton Daves to make the catch and put him on the board for a first down gain. Back now going into Blanco territory with 29 seconds to go on that slant out pass.
A big play there for the Rohawks as the Panthers provided pressure on him right away. He had to throw it up in the air fast, but it came down in Bacon's arms.
And now on Blanco's 43-yard line are the Rohawks with 13 seconds to go before the third quarter ends. Putting in motion, it's a right side wide out run going around the corner. They keep him from going anywhere else, as on the carry is Mr. Sakur, and he is taken down by the entire Blanco Panthers defense as the clock runs out. And that's the end of the third quarter, ladies and gentlemen. We got another fourth quarter, 12 minutes left in the game, and Blanco trying to hold this one together with a 14-6 lead over the Rohawks. Don't go anywhere. This is Blanco Panthers football coming out here on 88.9 Johnson City and 106.9 Fredericksburg, while also broadcasting online at BlancoRadio.com and on the Sun Radio app as part of the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support for tonight's Blanco Panther football broadcast comes from Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56, Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive, locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281, available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers in a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
Welcome back here, everybody, as we get the fourth quarter about ready to get started, as it'll be a second and 11 coming up here from the 44-yard line as the ball is moved to the opposite side of the field, now playing on our left side. It's where we're going to have this one marked up, ready to go. The Rohawks down by 8, 14-6 score in favor of Blanco, as both touchdowns came in the first half for the Panthers. One, a 3-yard rush by Gunnar Granberg. Again, his second touchdown of the year, and a passing touchdown from Kelby Cox to Peyton Van Dyke on the right pylon edge. As now it's going to be a quick handoff to the left side. But Sakur doesn't get anywhere as Toby Treesh is the first one on top of him. Well, not on top of him, but he does trip him up and make it a nice loss on the play.
And Riley, we're seeing this Panthers defense finish the job. We're seeing them make the tackles and get the players, the Rohawk players, on the ground.
Maybe that little intermission in between these quarters helping give the Panthers a little extra burst of energy, as now coming up here is going to be third down and 16 from the Blanco 49-yard line. So a lot to make up here. Trying to keep it all together with 11:24 remaining. 14-6 Panthers out here in the home opener versus the Rohawks. It's going to be a shotgun snap. Throw over the pressure is caught by Kaika Bacon. He steps forward and is going to be taken down with due authority by Tristan Lopez and Mr. Jonathan Alcala, and that is going to do a great job there for the defense and force the Roehawks to punt it away here with fourth down and 13 on the 46-yard line.
And a very big stop there by the Panthers as Randolph, who has been gaining some momentum, was trying to increase it by going down and adding more points on the board.
If you have to measure that stop based off size, how big was it, Adam?
1 to 10.
1 to 10? Seems
one,
about
no,
right.
No, 1 to 10.
Oh.
I would give it a 10.
Okay. Solid 10 is now. All right. So there you have it. JKB punting that one in the air, and it's going to be trickling towards the 10-yard line before the Roehawks pick it up, and that is where Blanco's going to try and widen this gap a little bit, standing now with a 14-6 lead and 10:30 to go in the game. When we come back, Blanco's going to start deep on their own 10-yard line, but definitely has a lot of momentum defensively, so don't go anywhere. A quick break, and we will be right back with Panthers football on Sun Radio.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 2.
Now, welcoming it back here quickly. We got them going now. Make that one actually marked up at, say, the 18-yard line or the... Man, I got to get my eyes checked here. Yep, looks like it's down at the 8. Cox is going to keep it, go outside. Doesn't get very far before he's taken down. Probably no gain on the play, and that's exactly right. So it'll be a second down and about half a yard to carry. Make it second down and 9 coming up here for the Panthers. Going here. You mark that one down at their 9-yard line. No, wait, that's not right. That does not seem right. And based off what my eyes are telling me, it's actually they're on the 15-yard line now. So I don't know. The scoreboard's throwing me off a little bit. Trying to keep it all together as now it's going to be another carry through the middle. Jumping on it. Look at that. Look at that magnificent carry. I looked away for a bit. Adam, did you see who was that?
That looks to be...
Let's see here. Oh, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure, but based off anything we can tell, I can guesstimate that maybe it was Fortner or Daves.
It looked to be Daves to me.
All right. Walton Daves it is. He gets the credit on that impressive first down carry to put Blanco on their 24-yard line, 25, 24 and a half. Measuring it out, yep, the 24-yard line is where it'll go, first and 10 for the Panthers. As Van Dyke plays as a wideout receiver with Fortner in early motion, they hand off to Daves. And now a flag is thrown as he gets pushing forward. Gains about 1, 2. Flag on the play. And from the way the Panthers are reacting, this could be going against the Roehawks to give the Panthers an even bigger boost on this drive.
It's a hold on offense.
Ah, dang it.
This one coming back.
Man, that's a bit of a stinker right there.
But the Panthers have been doing a good job at not letting penalties kill them tonight, like they did early on in some earlier games.
I can honestly only say it was that first game where they really kept biting themselves in the ankle.
Against Canyon Lake, that was the game that I remember the most.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Holy Cross, not too much. They just never really had an opportunity, did Blanco. And last week against Pearsall, it only seemed like it came up as a major inconvenience once or twice.
Yeah, we're seeing them clean it up big time.
Nicely,
encouraging to see.
Nicely done. But now having to clean up this big gap is now it is first and 20. To go here from the 14-yard line, put in motion is Fortner, and he's going to take it wide out. Get a block pushing forward from Daves. Keep to his feet as he gets him all the way to the 22-yard line, so a good gain there of 8.
And what a resilient run by Fortner. Tonight is go down on first contact, but to keep it moving and keep it getting a few more extra yards.
And, of course, Fortner coming into this game, the Panthers' leading rusher with 61 yards on the ground coming into tonight's game. As we see, it's now, after that replay of first down, it's second down and 12 here from the 22-yard line. As again, fourth quarter, 8:23 to go, and the Panthers leading 14-6. Now getting this one on the 22-yard line, trying to convert for first down with second and 12. And two receivers out on the near side, out on the far side, actually. This is going to be a handoff through the middle. Good jump there by Mr. Toby Treesh. Oh, baby, that's a first down, about 2 extra yards added to it.
Big run by Fortner. Big run by Treesh. Who's going to be the big run next?
I'm not too sure. Early on in the first half, it was always Cade Phelps, but they got Jet Hood in there now, so I got pretty good money to say that Jet Hood could be the next one to go up and get big yards here on the ground. But fantastic run there, 14 yards following that great 8-yard rush by Fortner, and it's first down Blanco on the 36. with 7:55 to go, the Panthers, even if they don't score, if they can get this drive all the way down the field, that could really make it hard for the Roehawks to even get the lead, as again, they're down by 8. And put Fortner in motion and carry it to Hood. He ends up being the least likely person to go for the big yard gain there, as you see. That's the big guy I was talking about, Sebastian Goldsworthy, all 280 pounds, pushing his way through Chance Horton and blocking his way right into Jet Hood for about a one-yard gain. Makes it second down and 9 on the 37 now. Man, when you got that size, you certainly got to use it. And Sebastian Goldsworthy, Blanco's actually done a really good job of keeping him pretty quiet for most of the night.
Yeah, the O-line's done a great job for Blanco at keeping him double-teamed and blocked.
Mm-hmm. So now standing tall under center. One receiver and Rogers on the left side, and they hand off. Right side run. Dave's ducking in. Got a block from Daniels, but a flag was thrown. So let's see here. It looks like he did get the first down on the 9-yard carry by Walton Daves, but a flag was thrown. Not before the play, though, so let's see what went and went against it. And it is going to be a holding call against Blanco. So the offensive line giving away that big play there, maybe against Daniels on that inside block. But it's still going to be a replay of second down and about a couple of sticks taken away, putting them way back in their territory again.
So, and just as I was talking about how penalties hasn't been a problem here late for Blanco, getting two offensive holdings on this drive.
Don't worry, Adam. We'll make sure you walk out of here in a hoodie so no one can recognize you. Once again, that brings up an interesting point for me tonight, as Carmelo Anthony, you heard all those weeks he was going to be traded to the Houston Rockets. Well, now, since the Knicks are refusing to budge, he's expanded his list, and the Cleveland Cavaliers are an option. So let's see. Can the Melo saga come to fruition? But now in this game, under center handoff, and Fortner goes to the left side, has a good jump, keeps backing himself. They get him to about the 20, 35-yard line. So that's about 1 yard back of the original line of scrimmage to make it third down. And it's really hard to see through these windows and on that far side of the field.
I didn't want him on the Rockets anyway. He slows down the ball too much. The Rockets want to go fast-paced. I like our Harden, Chris Paul backcourt.
Yeah, you could tell that to Parker Ray, of course, our sports director back at KTSW. Anytime Houston makes a big move for a big-name player, he's always the first to jump. And now ready here, third down, 11 from the 35 for Blanco. Under center, Cox trying to keep it. Still staying on his feet, pushes forward, but he's finally going to get brought down by Mr. Justin Kaika-Bacon. And that's going to be a fourth down coming up here as the Roehawks get a big stop with whistles blowing over every side of the field. There was no gain on the play. So let's see here. I don't see any flags out there, do you?
They haven't thrown a flag.
And I'm not sure what they're trying to measure up here. So now it is fourth down and 11, and they're going to have Cox back to play punter. 5:20 to go in this game, and Blanco having to call in their defense to make the big stop again. Currently up 14-6. At this point, Blanco just has to slow the game down to allow the clock to run as quickly as it is and seal the deal here. So we now see a timeout before the snap went up. Blanco is going to call it to try and figure things out, but don't go anywhere with this break. 5:09 remaining in this game, and Blanco up 14-6 over Randolph. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break as you're listening to Panthers football out here on Sun Radio.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
Welcome back, everybody. Fourth quarter underway. In fact, about 5 minutes left in the game. And the defense now getting ready to get on the field for Blanco as we still have to wait for the punt to go off from Kelby Cox. Currently leading in this game, the Panthers are by a score of 14-6. And again, how big was that bad snap on that PAT for Randolph? It looks like the same scenario, sort of same scenario that put Blanco in the loser's column last week initially, was that missed PAT. It ended up being the difference as the snap sails over Cox's head and he has to pick it up. He's in a foot race, getting chased towards the right side. He fires, and it is just out of Fortner's hands. No flag on the play as the entire crowd on Blanco's side thinking that.
Looked to be a late hit on the sideline.
Mm-hmm. But no call, and instead, Randolph's going to go from Blanco's 35. So once again, failure to get a clean punt off has really hurt the Panthers on this drive. They're going to give away a pretty good field position, obviously, for the Randolph Roehawks to try and get the score. And who knows, if they get six, could they be crazy enough to go for two?
I think they would need to go for two.
Oh, yeah.
I think it could be deja vu if they don't. It could be the extra point could cost them, just like it cost the Blanco Panthers last week.
Yeah, and of course, they're not pointing the blame there. There were many other opportunities, including the two near safeties that the Panthers defense just couldn't come up with. It's now firing over the middle. Kaika almost has it picked off as he threw a little bit too far behind Mr. Sakur. Ostigan was the guy there for Blanco that could have gotten it. Maybe a little bit too far behind him as he ran forward to try and knock Sakur down if he didn't manage to make the catch. But it'll still be an incomplete pass and make it second down and 10.
It should be interesting to see how they play the second down. Do they go in the air again, or do they try to get some yards on the ground?
If you had money to bet on, which one do you think they would go for?
On the ground.
On the ground, indeed. And now under center, only one receiver out on the far side, and that is Almond. And they're going to let Mr. Oh.
And they go on the ground, but Blanco meets them with that defensive line.
Man, Sakura tried to cut on the draw forward up the left side and ends up getting blocked. And I do mean blocked. He jumps in the air and is caught by Mr. Granberg. Fantastic play. And that's going to keep it relatively tame here as it's still third down and 10. 4:33 and counting to go in the game, and Blanco holding on to a 14-6 lead. And this far back on the 35, if they can't get the stop here, I don't think Randolph would send out the kicking team to try and go for a long field goal. They would go for it as they really don't have enough to lose anymore. And now quickly getting to the line, trying to catch Blanco's defense off guard. The snap was dropped but picked up, and Kaika Chase just gets away from Felton, is finally chased down by Treach in the sack.
And what a defensive play by the Panthers here in Blanco. Big play by the defense.
Oh, baby. It's got to be big if Adam's the one raising his voice. Am I right? But once again, Phelps, the initial man on the chase from Kaika, didn't get him, but Toby Treach right there to finish the job, putting them back, fourth down, and about 20 or 19. Fantastic stop there by the Panthers. Definitely puts the Roehawks out of field goal range now on Blanco's 44-yard line.
Riley's a four-down territory for the Roehawks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's no way they punt the ball?
No way. I mean, 3:30 left in the game. The clock is ticking. They have no choice but to go for it, as now you see a timeout is going to be called, and Randolph is going to take a little more time to try and figure out what will definitely be the last big play they can put up in this game from the way the clock is going, as they do stop it at 3:25. And when we come back, it's going to be fourth down and 19 coming up here as the Roehawks will try and save their game. But don't go anywhere. Blanco leads 14-6, and this is Panthers football out here on Sun Radio.
Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And welcome back, everybody. If you weren't listening before we went into that break, there's 3:25 left in the game. Blanco is leading 14-6, and now with a fourth down and 19 coming up here on the 44-yard line, the Roehawks are trying to save their game in a shotgun set. Kaika turning over the middle. He throws it as Daniels nearly gets him, firing down the field, and it's picked off by Ostigan, and he breaks away. He's got room with the right side. It's closing quick, and he is going to be knocked out of bounds by Kaika Bacon.
And Riley, defensive play, and her defensive play has been made by this Panthers defense. They keep making plays all game long.
And the entire key to that play right there is the desperation throw by Kyle Kaika. He had to get it off as Daniels was about to clothesline him on the ground. Not literally clothesline, but about to get to him for another sack. That would have been a turnover on down, so he has to throw it over the middle, which is always the safest bet if you're going to throw it anywhere. Throw it over the middle.
And let's see if this Panthers running attack can get a first down and are able to run out the clock.
Yeah, only 3:11 left in the game. And Ostigan for the Panthers, that, I believe, is the first interception of the season for Blanco. So congratulations to that. Chris Ostigan, the first man on the board in that category. No, wait. What am I thinking? That is not the first interception. Kelby Cox had the first interception, and now watching Cade Phelps push it, gets him all the way to the 50 for a four-yard gain and makes it second down and six here for the Panthers. So I take that back. Not the first interception. That's actually the third, and I'll take that one back and put that one on me. I should memorize that, and I should be settling just fine, but still, great job. Oskin got a gimme interception as he had that one marked. And now, second down and six, 2:43 and counting left in the game, and Blanco just basically has to run down the clock and not give away the ball that quickly. So now Cox under center. Looking at the slot receiver he has over on the left side is Fortner with Rogers playing on the far side on the 40. Giving the handoff. Pushing it, Walton Daves is going to be taken down on top of where they originally marked it. So it'll be third down and six coming up as you see Mr. Juarez get on top of him with a low leg hit. Fantastic work to get ahead of him.
And a big play here there by the Rojas defense, giving their team a little bit of a chance. Maybe.
So, yeah, maybe. Third down and six coming up here for Blanco. So let's see if they try and go for a soft pass, maybe towards the left side over the middle. I'm not too sure. Or just a solid run. As again, the clock is ticking, so they don't have to move at all. But now 10 seconds left on the game clock, and a minute 50 left in the game. Blanco's got to get this one off quick. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, and they do. And have Cox rolling left. He's chased. He gets a good... And he's breaking free up the left side. That's a first down to Munsom. He's going to go all the way to the end zone.
Touchdown, Panthers!
Look what you're doing there, man. You got Adam all excited. Congratulations, Kelby. Fantastic, fantastic effort. And yeah, you better believe it. That is probably going to seal the deal as it makes the score 20-6 in favor of Blanco.
This Blanco team has gotten my heart. As now, when I see a play like that, a play that ends the game, it just makes my joy come alive.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself out here, Adam. As the score now rings up a 20-6 mark here for the Panthers with a minute 35 to go. They got that one all the way from the 50. And now the PAT by Rogers is going to seal it and deal it. 21-6, Blanco. And at this point, it would take a miracle to see the Rojas get anything on the board as we do not need to play a break. Tell us exactly what went right on that last play there for the full 50-yard run to the end zone on a wide out turn by Kelby Cox.
The O-line, the receivers, everyone blocked, and Kelby Cox down the hole, and he took it.
And right now I'm in a bit of a stare down with a small baby as T-shirts are being thrown. She's wondering what I'm doing. And I'm certainly wondering if I'm scaring her or not as she's taking a peek into the recording booth. Say hi, Adam. Aw, she's so adorable. She doesn't know what's going on. If any of you aren't paying attention, I'm talking to a small infant. Trying to keep it together and definitely don't want these ladies to get hit by the T-shirts being thrown up into the seats. But it's definitely fun to interact with the crowd out here as they're having a grand time in the home opener. Blanco looks like they're going to be taking home that first win tonight.
It's like the touchdown just put it nail in the coffin.
Yeah, seal the deal. Bury it. Put it out there.
Sign sealed, delivered.
Yeah, the Rojas got mauled. As now you see one of the little footballs got thrown into the press box, and we got a guy that's lucky enough to make the catch. It's our PA announcer. So congrats there, man. But now ready to seal it and deal it as we see the kickoff is going to be taken not very far by Mr. Joel Weber, number 77. He's a big tackle, and he only gets them to about the 48-yard line in their own territory, and that's where the Rojas are going to start and just let the festivities take over as a minute 31 to go. 47-yard line is where this drive that won't really mean anything for the Rojas is going to go, and it's going to be a final ending here that is worth the wait. As I can just see the smiles from the crowd out here, the Blanco fans loving every bit of it. Except for that small baby. She seems to be not having a lot of fun at my expense. She seems to be looking at me like I'm insane. And it's probably because I am. But let's get back to the field. 47-yard line.
Plead the fifth, Riley.
I plead the fifth, Adam. Okay, we're going to get off that subject then, as now you see it's going to be a quick setup and go and a flag thrown. That'll probably be a false start going against Randolph. And yeah, let's mark it that way. Yep. Kid's still looking at me funny. At this point, it's a battle of will. But as you can see here, it's going to be a false start going against the Rojas, and now timeouts on the field. So Why don't we load up a quick little break here and get things going, as now a fan is holding a Scott Balmo's head. Where do they come up with these? Where do they make these little plastic heads on sticks?
We had them in high school, too.
I know.
I don't know where they come from.
I don't either.
They just show up.
Does anyone ever know how they make these things? You know, we don't even have to go into a break. I want to debate this. Where do they make these head things?
I'm sure you can get them. You can get anything online now, Riley.
Tis true, but specifically, how do they come up with a Scott Balmo stick head? I have no idea. I mean, he's a great coach, and I'm glad they have him. He was one of my favorite interviews. He's the only other guy I've gotten to interview when I come down here other than Coach Tesh. Coach Balmo's doing a bang-up job, and especially out here tonight. Fantastic effort by Kelby Cox, the quarterback, as he, despite throwing two picks, still a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown, and, of course, keeping the offense moving, is now throwing to the left side. Kaika misses his mark with Alex Cross going towards the sideline, incomplete. Second down and 15 coming up here. A minute 27 is where the clock will stop. And now you can see the crowd starting to get going towards the exit because they know this game is over.
They know this game is over, but most of the Blanco crowd still staying to celebrate the win.
Mm-hmm. And the first win of the season, just like last year, Randolph will serve as that first W for the Panthers. But now going here from the 42-yard line in the gun. Backs by his side, standing ready. Kaika rolls right. Looks to stop, steps forward, gets a good run, but gets him back to the original line of scrimmage for a 5-yard gain. So make it third down and 10 coming up here from the 47-yard line for the Rohawks on a quick 5-yard step-up keep by Kyle Kaika.
And now it's just a matter of the time running out for the Blanco Panthers to get the W.
Yep, about a minute left as we're about to hit that mark. 21-6 in favor of the Panthers out here. Coming to this game tonight, 0-3, looking for their first win just like a year ago as they check out Chael Knoll, number 65, a big lineman. In terms of height, he is the guy that you can measure up with at 6 feet 5 inches, the tallest player on either roster. But of course, the biggest one you have to give credit to is Wyatt Perkins, number 73, 6'4", 280, is now Kaika. He's going to keep it to the left side before he is closed in by Alcala. Gains about 2 yards on the play, or about 1. Gets him to the 48. Yep, so it'll be 4th down and 9 coming up here with 24 seconds to go. The play clock is longer than the game clock, so this is effectively going to wrap it up here for the Blanco Panthers. One last play, unless they just let the clock run out. Let's see what they go with here, as they got Mr. Kaika standing in the gun, ready to get a snap off with Justin Kaika Bacon by his side. And stepping up, he'll throw short, and it's going to be a tackle for about a 2-yard gain there as Kaika Bacon gets the short one and stops the clock at 1, and they let it roll out. And ladies and gentlemen, celebrate if you're not here tonight in Blanco for the Panthers, as they have picked up their first win of 2017 in a mirror image just like last year, only this time they make it definitive, a 21-6 final over the Rohawks in the home opener as both teams go out to the 50-yard line and do their proverbial handshake.
Yeah, what a great performance defensively for Blanco and offensively in the first half, able to get going running the ball, which made the pass play available for the Panthers. Really a great overall effort for the Blanco Panthers.
Mm-hmm. And before we get into a quick post-game show, let's take another maybe about a 2-stop, 3-stop break, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap things up here as the home opener yields fantastic results for the Panthers with confetti starting to fly. And again, the final score out here at Panther Stadium is 21-6 in favor of Blanco. They now stand at 1-3 on the season, while Randolph drops to 2-2. But let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap things up here and point out what we thought made this game great and check around the rest of district to see what else is going on. But you're listening to Blanco Panthers football out here on Sun Radio. And before we go, I just want to be able to remind y'all that if you would like to receive a copy of tonight's game, please give our office a call at 512-965-9969. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Support comes from KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Clay Pack Greenhouses, deep-rooted in Blanco athletics. Everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Lone Star Capital Bank, offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business.
business need. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
We got a nice mass of people making their way out of the press box from both sides of this action as we got the final score out here to celebrate for the Blanco Panthers, as again, confetti is flying over the top of the press box to celebrate the first win of 2017 and another small milestone achieved for head coach Bill Tesh, the first win as the head coach of Blanco High School. So congratulations to Coach Tesh for a well put together effort tonight by the Panthers. They do indeed back up what Coach Tesh told me earlier this week on what they need to do to pull off the win, and by golly, they pull it off 21-6.
And it's amazing how this team doesn't lean on one player. We saw last week, we saw Jay Hood make a lot of plays. And tonight we saw Fortner. We saw
on the rush side of things.
We saw multiple players make plays on this Panther offense. So that's really encouraging to see that they have multiple guys who can step up and make plays.
And even a lot to go with as both teams out there on the field. Randolph kneeling for maybe a group prayer or a group talk with their coach, maybe a little bit of both, while you see Blanco standing up tall, really the first time all season they've gotten a chance not to be kneeling, waiting for the notes to come back on what they need to do to improve. And while there will be some things to improve all around, the best effort yet by the Panthers on this season. As if you had to pick a few highlight moments in this game, what would you say were the big moments that really turned the tide here for Blanco?
I would say the two that stand out to me is the touchdown pass to Van Dyke in the first half, and then the run by Kelby Cox to put the game away.
And defensively, I got to give credit to two phenomenal stops on big drives again in that first half as the clock was about to time out and we were going to go into half. Blanco was giving up some pretty good field position after giving up a huge run by number one Justin Kaika Bacon, but then out of nowhere on a third down, Randolph need to convert to at least keep the chance of a field goal on the play, and Cade Phelps chases down Kyle Kaika for a huge sack that put them 8 yards back from where they originally started and forced nothing. It ended the half. And then, again, same scenario, fourth quarter. Blanco's only leading 14-6, so Randolph still could have had a chance to even tie the game and keep us here a little bit longer. But, once again, the defensive line and the front job by the Blanco Panthers sees them manage to put it as a fourth down and 19 after sacking Kaika for an eight-yard loss. Trying to keep it all together. My mic is now giving me a couple of issues, but hey, we're keeping it together. Again, it was Toby Treach with a big sack that put Randolph on a fourth down and 19 that they needed to convert to at least keep their chances of even tying the game or staying in the game alive, and it does not pan out. So a fantastic effort all around, as I think that's a pretty safe place to wrap things up here in this post-game show. Adam, any last things you want to say?
Celebrate the win and look on to next week.
All right, but in fact, we do have something to look forward to, as we got to give a last update of what's going on around District before we head out. So what is going on for the other teams out here in District 13?
With about 3 minutes left, Tom Moore is beating Comfort 20-18. So that game, with 3 minutes left, still anyone's ball game. Rogers is hosting Hearn and is up 21-12 with over 6 minutes to go in that game. In Salado is handling Florence 56-14, just over 4 minutes in that game. And number three, Lexington, only in the third quarter, up 55-6 over Durrell.
And now just looking ahead to next week, I just want to remind y'all, if you're listening in your car, if you're listening at home, to please be safe, have a good time, keep it all together. As I take a look down the list, I don't see Blanco listed out here, trying to look up what the next game will be for the Panthers, but all I can do is remind you to tune in next Friday, when the Panthers will be back out here ready to go in that game, as again, hopefully no technical difficulties, as we'll be starting around 7. You can guarantee a start at 7:30. That is when the game will be. As again, I want to look at the score. I want to figure it out, as again, the final score out here tonight from Panther Stadium for Blanco is 21-6, their first win of the season. Now 1-3 on the year. Trying to keep it all together. I'm just trying to take a look ahead. But what else can fail me? What else can fail me? I don't know. But one thing that certainly has helped me out in the past is Max Preps. It's where I do most of my pregame and most of my work, as again, trying to keep it all down here. The schedule shows that next week, Randolph will be out. hosting Antonian Prep out here in Blanco next week. And again, kickoff will be 7:30. So I just want to remind you to tune in next Friday, September 29th, when the Panthers will host Antonian Prep out here for the second straight home game. And that'll be the last non-district game before they get started in the district slate on October 13th. That'll be 2 weeks away. And it is the final game out here in this touchdown against cancer series, in which case every high school team around the country trying to get involved in the battle to defeat childhood cancer. But thank you, everybody. I appreciate you tuning in out here tonight as you were listening to Blanco Panther Varsity Football on KTSN Blowout Johnson City, which broadcasts at 88.9 FM, along with K295CK Luckenbach Fredericksburg, which broadcasts off of 106.9 FM, while we stream online at BlancoRadio.com and on the Sun Radio app, which is part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. For Adam Byerly, I'm Riley Chestnut, and I thank you for tuning in to another week of Friday Night Lights, and may you have a blessed week ahead of you.
Support for Panther football comes from Old 300 Barbecue, open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season.
You've been listening to Panther football on BlancoRadio.com.